This morning we were to be in a series, and I'm going to pull away from that series because there's been something weighing on my heart actually since way back in the springtime. And I just sense that now is the right time to speak it. Maybe this morning this sermon is going to be exactly for you. You're going to be somebody that says, this is like a lifeline to me, and I really, really needed this sermon. Or it may be a sermon that you listen to and you think, well, this isn't necessarily for me, but it is mine to do something with. And in that way, it would be for you as well. Something that you're being stirred to actually step into and be part of the answer for. It may be that after listening to the message, you think to yourself, I know exactly who I want to give this to. I know exactly who I'm going to give the podcast link to, or I'm going to invite them. Maybe even this morning, as it takes a bit to load it from live stream up to our Vimeo, but you're going to say, hey, show up in an hour and listen to this message, and I'd love to talk to you about it afterwards. So I want to invite us to pray, because this is a serious topic we're talking about when we think about this world that we're living in, and there's a lot of pain in this world right now. A lot of pain in America. A lot of pain in this region that we're in. There's a lot of pain out there, and there's a lot of pain in here. There's a lot of pain in this listening group that we're connected to. There's a lot of chaos and a lot of exhaustion, and there's a lot of people that are in this place where they don't know how to take the next step. And I want to talk about that this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we open your word now, we know that it's life. We know that it's like a bright light to shine in the darkness. And so come now and shed light where things feel so dark. Maybe for some of us listening this morning, it's never felt darker. And we pray that by your mercy and by your power and by your spirit, you will now move in such a way that life is going to get transformed right here, in this moment, in this time. We pray this in your name. Amen. I want to invite you to open up or just listen, either way, to the book of 1 Kings. We're going to be reading the story of Elijah, and it begins in chapter 19. It's toward the front of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You find a small book named Ruth. Eventually you get 1 and 2 Samuel, then 1 Kings chapter 19. And it reads this way. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Now the story that precedes this, chapter 18, we see Mount Carmel being the place, like this mountaintop experience where a lone prophet of God, his name is Elijah, that's who we're reading about, is facing off with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, 850 prophets of these false gods against this one prophet of the true God. And the scene was set that they were both to build an altar, both to put an offering of an animal on top of this altar, both to put wood underneath the altar, and then the one who could call down fire from their God would be shown to be the true prophet of the true God. 850 prophets couldn't pull it off. The one prophet of God said, pour water on it. It's like the original smack talk, if you will, in some kind of adventure or some kind of competition. Pour water on the fire. Pour more on it. Eventually, the wood itself is floating in this water. And then he calls down fire from God. The 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, not capable of getting a single spark out of their wood. But he calls down fire from heaven. And God ignites the fire so hot, it soaks up the water, burns the wood, consumes the offering, and even the rocks that are around the altar itself. May the gods deal with me. These are the gods that couldn't do anything. But may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Well, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm exhausted, tired. I've gone far enough, long enough. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. Just take my life. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. Well, the word of the Lord came to him. Such a good question. "What are you doing here, Elijah? Like, what are you doing? Really, what are you doing? What are you actually doing right now?" And he replied, "Well, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death by the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death by the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord came to him and said, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as the prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escaped the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." As I mentioned, there is a lot of pain out there. There's a lot of pain in here. We're living in times of uncertainty, and that uncertainty actually breeds something that feels unsettling inside of many of us. Maybe not all of us, but many of us. And if you're one of those persons that's feeling that unsettling and that place where you're just thinking to yourself, "I don't like where I'm at," it can feel a little bit like this is having a real impact on us in this way. That I know that for me personally, I've spoken with more people and prayed over more people in the last 2 weeks than I remember in my entire ministry. And when I say that, I say that because I'm actually happy about what's happening inside of me because I've moved to the place. It doesn't matter if I'm on the phone or even if I'm sending out an email. I've been writing prayers and I'm actually praying over people, not simply saying, I'll pray for you and then praying for them, but actually activating that and doing that right then and there. But there have been more people that have been asking for prayer and more people that have called me. And just a couple days ago, my wife and I were standing in our house and I asked her to come over and I was on the phone and I grabbed her hand and I had her hand in one hand. I had my phone in the other and we prayed over a good friend of ours who was crying on the other end of the line. And she's not alone. These are not isolated cases. There are people that are without jobs and people that have more work than they ever signed up for. There are people that are feeling like somehow that they're weathering this storm and they're doing okay by it. Others are feeling like I still have options. And yet there are some of you out there, maybe it's you today, that are feeling like I'm kind of out of options. And it doesn't feel like I'm weathering the storm anymore. It feels like this hurricane of a storm just kind of stalled out on top of me. And it just won't move. And I don't know where to go. Some of us, if we're honest about it, and we are here, we just keep it honest. We keep it real. We say it like it is. Some of us, because honestly, we're in a place where we're scared. Some of us, some of you, are feeling scared about what could happen to you. Some of you are feeling scared about what is happening to you. And some of you are scared about what you might do to yourself. And I know that's pretty heavy. But that's where you're at. That's where many people are at. Just scared about what you might actually do to yourself. You might feel like man, I dug a hole. Or a hole got dug and I got kicked into it. Or a hole was dug and I fell into it. It doesn't matter anymore how I got into this hole, but I've been trying to get out of this hole for so long. And I thought maybe if I just climb harder and try harder. Maybe if I just watch something that'll make me laugh, I'll break this feeling that I have. Maybe I can eventually, if I just claw enough, get to the top, back to the surface again and see, at least see what's normal up there. Maybe you're feeling like, man, I don't even know if I found normal, if I'd know what it looks like any longer. I just don't know anymore. And you're feeling like you're running out of options. Feeling like maybe I don't even have anybody to call anymore. And you're feeling alone. And you're feeling isolated. And you're feeling like, I don't know, because when I do call somebody to talk, I don't actually talk. I just cry. And when I cry, I feel like at that point, I become a burden. So I just don't know what to do anymore. I don't know where to go. If that's you today, I've been carrying this for you for months, and today I want to speak directly to you. If that's not you today, and you're sitting listening to this, and you know somebody then that's in this place, please lean in on this one and ask God what He might speak to you, that you might respond to that person, or if there's somebody who you might invite into this journey so that they don't get in that place. But if you're there before, if you're there right now, rather, if you're there right now in that place, I want to say something to you about the very heart of God before I go any farther. I want you to know what He thinks about you and who He is. And if there was one part of the Scripture, just one chapter, if you were to say, I'll read one chapter out of the Bible, or you're thinking to yourself, I can't read right now because I'm just crying too much. I couldn't even read. Well, then let the Word be read over you. Ask somebody to read it over you. Or at least pull it up on the phone and then just let the audio go. But if there's one section of the Scripture I would ask that we all hear at least once in our life, it's Luke chapter 15. If I were to send somebody that says, I'll read one chapter, I'll listen to one chapter out of the Bible, I'll give it a chance, it'd be Luke chapter 15 because it's the gospel in a nutshell. It's the good news. It tells us who God is. And it's a story about a lost sheep. It's a story about a lost coin. It's a story about a lost son. And the lost son, there are two sons that this father had. And the intention of the teller, Jesus himself, is to say, I want to give you a glimpse of the heart of God for you. This father had two sons. One, the older one, that seemed like he never did anything wrong. We all know older children like that, right? The ones that seem like they never do anything wrong, but we know they do. And then there's this younger son that never seems to do anything right, really. And he goes off and he does all the things that would break the heart of his father, you would think. All the things that, at least in his mind, he started telling himself in his head, I'm not acceptable to be a son anymore. I don't think he even wants me back. I don't even know if I can carry the family name anymore. I mean, his head is a mess, and it's beginning to affect every part of him. He's in a hole, and he doesn't know how to get out. And he makes his way back down the road thinking, maybe if I just tell my dad, can I just be a servant? You don't even have to call me your own son. I know that's over. I've blown it. I don't have any... I'm not going to make it if you don't let me be at least your servant. We see what happens is God starts moving. The Father starts moving his direction. The Father runs down the road, arms wide open, doesn't even pay attention to anything that the Son has done or been. The only thing that matters to him is his Son. He sees him and says, you're coming home, and throws his arms around him. It tells me this, no matter what you're feeling, no matter how hard it is, no matter how you're feeling about the options you have or may not have, no matter how many tears, you feel like there's this endless well of tears, and that's all I've got. If you turn toward God, this story tells me that you don't ever have to feel like you're burdening him. You don't ever feel like you have to speak even with clarity. That even the motion toward him is that which would reciprocate a love from him, a grace from him, a delight from him that my daughter, my son, is coming home. And I want to be like that. The Bible talks about us. This is for all of us here. It talks about us being the kind of people that are conformed by God's Spirit into the image of His Son. Jesus was clothed. If He put clothing on, it was this every morning. It was compassion and love and grace and a willingness to accept anybody, no matter where they were, no matter how messy it was, no matter how messed they were physically, emotionally, mentally. He was there for them. We want to be those people. I want to be that sort of person. And I want you today to know you're not alone. Fact, 47 million adults in America have experienced some form of mental illness. 47 million adults in America, which means about 20% of us. You know what that means? It means this is somewhat normative. It means you're not alone. It means the experiences you're experiencing are the experiences so many, 20% of the population has been there, has tasted that, has felt that, has gone through that journey as well, or are there right now. In fact, the statistics for our teenagers, they're going up astronomically right now. In fact, 1.5 million Americans just in this last 6 months have experienced, this is additional to the 47 million, just in the last 6 months, 1.5 million more Americans have experienced mental health issues. It means that this isn't something that you're journeying alone. It is something many people have experienced. In fact, in the state of Michigan, and I know those of us that are listening here this morning, we're not just from the state of Michigan, but for those of us that are from Michigan, we live in a state that ranks number 6 when it comes to those people who have experienced some form of mental illness, some struggle in the brain itself with trying to get these emotions back in line again. We're number 6 in the nation, and I hope this is why. I don't know, but I hope it's why. I hope the reason is because we just talk about it, because we're so real. Because we don't hide it. Because we're the kind of people that when we break a bone, we're going to go to the doctor to fix it. And when we feel broken on the inside, we're not going to ignore it. We'll actually talk to somebody about it. We'll go to a good friend. We'll go to our pastor. We'll go to a therapist. We'll go somewhere to have a conversation. Because we know what we're feeling isn't all right. And we want to get to a place where we're feeling all right again. Maybe our stats are so high in Michigan because we're the kind of people that just talk about it. I sure hope that's why. And if it's not, I want to make that as normal as I can. That we will just, that's why I'm talking about it this morning, because you matter, and because talking about this actually matters. That it matters for you, and it matters for me, and it matters for us. It matters for our community, that we would be the kind of people that would have conversations around this. During the months from April to September of the year 2020, 70% of us reported that the top two things that we sensed were contributing to health concerns were loneliness and isolation. Loneliness and isolation, they were messing with us right on. Loneliness and isolation will mess with us at a high level. And when we begin to sense that we are alone, when we begin to sense that we're lonely, when we begin to feel isolated, it actually does something physically to us. It doesn't just affect our thoughts. It's not just in our mind. It begins to affect us emotionally, physically, and mentally. It has a full-on effect. And the reason is because we've been hardwired for connections. We've been hardwired to be connected to one another. We matter. We, capital W-E, we matter. You matter to me. I matter to you. I need you. You need me. We need us. And when we sense that we are lonely, when we feel isolated, it begins to mess with us at a super, super high level. Think about what we read. Here is Elijah, the prophet of God. And I know he's just a man, and let's never forget this. But this was a man of God that was used at a high level by God. And up on Mount Carmel, I mean, we've got the highlight film of all highlight films taking place. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah. Over here, we've got one standing in the corner. I mean, can you imagine? 850 against one. And he wins. And I love highlight films, man. I've watched highlight films again and again of like Barry Sanders, where Barry Sanders, 10-year career of Barry Sanders and the stuff he used to do on his feet. He would have his feet going one direction, his mid-body going another, his upper body tipped another, his head doing another thing. And I watched him like spin a guy. It's one of the greatest highlight clips I've ever seen. He's running down the field and one guy goes to tackle him and he jukes him. The guy spins and before Barry Sanders runs past the guy without the guy even touching him, he's done a 360. They used to say about Barry Sanders, defenders would, do not make him make you do the Lord's Prayer. Do not allow him make you do the Lord's Prayer. And I'm like, what does that mean? Well, it means this. When they went to tackle him, sometimes they would be tackling just air, mid-air. And they would clap their hands together, fall straight on their faces. Barry walked by without them even touching him. You could watch Vince Carter, his highlight clips. This guy, they call it breaking ankles in the basketball world. Put a juke on somebody and they'd fall right down on the court. Or watch Ronaldo. Maybe you're like, I don't like soccer. Even if you don't like soccer, watch Ronaldo. What that guy could do with his feet, mind-blowing. And this highlight clip is a highlight clip among highlight clips. And on the heels of this, calling down fire from heaven that consumes the rocks and the water and the wood. He stands back and goes, my God is bigger than all your gods put together. We find Elijah running for his life. We find him in a place where he says, I've run out of options. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm so desperate. God, I don't even want to live anymore. That's all I got left. Can you just take my life? I'm done. If you're there today, please, please do not let this day go without reaching out to somebody. I'm so glad that Elijah at least reached out to God with those very real feelings. Yes, reach out to God with that. And know that God uses people. Don't let the day go without reaching out to a trusted friend and say, this is where I'm at. I listened to a sermon this morning and I feel like this. And I was encouraged to just share it with somebody. And so I'm calling you. This is the way I'm feeling. Reach out to one of our staff members. Reach out to me. Reach out to somebody and let them know. And don't stop there. If you're in that place, go to a place where you actually get help for that, because that's no place to stay. It's okay to be there. There are so many people that have been there. Even this amazing prophet of God, right? He was there. He's just a man. You're just a person. Please reach out to somebody. And then listen to the question that God asked him. Hey, Elijah, what are you doing there? What are you doing? That's a great question. Ask yourself, what am I doing here? Not how did I get here, but what am I doing right now? Am I isolating myself because I just feel like I'm a burden? Well, don't do that. Don't do that. We want to be like the father in the story of the prodigal son. I want to be like Jesus is, clothed with compassion. Our church wants to be that kind of church, and we'll do our very best to stand with you. No matter what your story is, know that God, no matter how messed up, no matter how many tears, no matter how long you felt like, I don't even know what I would say, that's all right. Just say that. I don't even know what to say. Start there. We want to be and know that Elijah made a good move. Don't not go to God, and certainly don't not go to us. What are you doing there? Ask yourself the question, am I cutting off God? What are you doing there right in that place? Are you cutting off God? Are you cutting him off, the one who says, I love you so, so much. My love for you is marvelous. My love for you is overwhelming. My love for you couldn't be more. Are you cutting him off? Maybe even ask yourself, am I here trusting myself as much as Elijah seemed to be trusting himself? And should I trust my thoughts even as much as Elijah trusted his own? Am I really that isolated? Am I really that alone? Because that's what Elijah was saying. I'm all alone. I'm the only one. And God's like, you're not alone. Here's bread. It's a simple, simple thing, but there's bread there. Where did that come from? You're not alone. There's a jug of water over there. Where did that come from? You're not alone. There's an earthquake. There's a shattering on the mountain. Then there's a whisper. Did you hear it? You're not alone. And then he said, oh, you're not alone. I know you feel alone, but sometimes you can't even trust yourself. That's why we need us. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Sometimes we need others to speak into us because we can't trust ourselves in those moments when we're not thinking as well as we normally do. And we need somebody to say, hey, there's 7,000 others. That's what God said to them. There are 7,000 others, Elijah. You're not alone. You're not the only one left. There are 7,000 others that haven't bowed their knee, nor have they kissed the Baals. There are others. Go and get connected to them. I want to say just something here this morning. I read once that loneliness doesn't always come from being alone. The sense of loneliness doesn't always come from being alone. It actually comes from thinking you're alone. It doesn't necessarily come from being alone. It's from thinking you're alone. And I've said it several times, but I want to say it again. You're not alone in this. And I want to ask you who are in this place where you're saying, all the while that you've been speaking this morning, Greg, I've been thinking about someone I really love that's struggling right now. I want to ask you to be a part of the answer. Just reach out again. Do something again. Pray and ask God, what is it I can do to be your arms, the ones that ran down the road and hugged that one son that felt like he didn't know if he fit in? I want to be the one that helps that person know they belong. Do that work. And I want to encourage you who are in that place where you've been in that hole for a long time and you can't find normal and you're struggling, I want to just ask you to do three things, that you would take some next steps. And these would be the next steps I would ask. That number one, you reassess how alone you really are. Just do a reassessment of that. Like Elijah, God was inviting him into that. Reassess. Think about the bread. You're not alone. Think about the jug of water. You're not alone. Can you please, please think about the 7,000 others? You're not alone. Listen to my whisper. I'm whispering to you. I'm speaking to you. You are not alone. Think about those who are around you. Think about somebody. Think about us. Think about us as the church. Think about the team here that is willing to have those conversations. Please reassess your sense of loneliness. Number two, I want to invite you to read Scripture. And maybe, like I said already, you're in a place like, I can't read right now. I just can't. Well, then get it read over you. There's something about a cloud of darkness and light busting into the middle of that darkness. And this is what the Word of God can do. When that Word of God gets in, it can sprout a seed that is a beautiful light inside of you. And just get the Word read over you and get into the Word and read it and let that light shine in the darkness. And finally, the last thing I want to ask is that you would email us. I spoke to Jeremy about this, and I spoke to Lori about this. And our emails are firstname.lastname@harborchurches.org. Each one of us have freed up time in our schedules for you, specifically for you who are feeling like, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know where to go. May these be your next steps. Reassess your loneliness. May this be your next step following that, is to get Scripture in you and then reach out. Email Jeremy, email Lori, email me, and we will reach back to you. We've freed up time so that we can try our best to step in and to love on you and to care for you. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you. We are the church. Thank you that the gospel that you gave us is so crystal clear about your love for us. It's so crystal clear. And Jesus, you tell them that story. There was a coin, there was a sheep, and there was a son, and there was a God whose heart, whose love couldn't be larger. We want to be that for the most hurting in our community. And so by your grace, come now. Use us and move in power. And we pray this in your name. Amen.